Well, Wednesday, we had a time of worship and prayer for the election and a lot of sharing. And so I'm trying to figure whether to combine the two or not, because we talked about above the noise in the devotion and discussed just a little bit that God hears us. And the thing that he spoke to me as I spoke to him about, I was feeling sorry for God because he gets a bad rap and people don't give him glory for good things he does and they blame him for bad things he doesn't have anything to do with, and for the fact that he created this beautiful, wonderful creation, gave us so much. And there are those who want to deny him the glory for that, those who won't believe in him, those who go beyond not believing in him and not wanting anybody else to believe in him, those who just flat hate him and curse him. And, you know, he doesn't deserve that. And what the Lord spoke to me was, you know, he just said, you know, one word of praise from you blots that all out. Your prayers just push that aside. And obviously it wasn't just mine, it's the prayers of the saints, but the earnest, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much, or a righteous woman. The God listens for the right stuff. And he hears the right stuff above the clamor, above all the noise. And the importance, or the benefit to us, that it would be if we would do the same thing. Hear the right stuff above the noise. Feel the love above the fear. You know, it's interesting the way that at times the enemy will test you. He will try you just to see if you're susceptible to fear. And you, have you ever had those feelings where suddenly you've got anxiety and fear and you don't really know why? And unfortunately, what happens oftentimes is when we have that kind of a feeling, instead of getting rid of it, rebuking it, telling it to back off, we'll sit and try to figure out what terrible thing is in store for us. And you know that we have imaginations that can manufacture things if need be. But we don't need that to be where we stand on the truth. Hey, perfect love's cast out fear. Fear, you have no part in me. Jesus said of those things, you got no part in me. And so the two things being one, that God hears us above the clamor. He hears us above all the noise. He hears your prayers. And the thing about it is, a lot of us as Christians, we don't act like he hears our prayers. We pray, but if we don't see the results that we want, then we assume he didn't hear. When what we should do is assume by faith that not only did he hear, but that we have the answer. And so that we can anticipate that answer. And so when we are that way, then we're drowning out the noise. We're above the noise. Because doesn't the noise mess with your life? Has anyone here ever had the noise mess with their life? And the noise can take on pictures. In other words, things that we can see. And sometimes the things that we see shout so loudly. They shout above the things that we know, because Christ is in us. If Christ is in us, then we know these things. The truth is in us. He's not an in and out God. He's in. He said, I'll come and I'll dwell in you. I'll be in you. We'll be one. I'll come and make my home with you. So then all that we need, everything is there in us. But we have to access it. It's like Ken, you work with people with their computers and they have a problem with a software, and you know that what they need is in that software, and sometimes you have to get the things out of the way for the good stuff to manifest, right? Would that be an oversimplification of what you accomplish? But what you do is just make what's there work right by overcoming what's been stopping it from working right, right? That sounds pretty biblical. That sounds kind of Holy Ghosty. Yeah, amen, that's right. They're demonic bugs, and you root them out and get to be a hero every day bringing out those things. And you see, the thing is that you too and I, we can bring out those things that God wants brought out, the things that He has put there. And so above the noise is simply, first of all, that awareness that how important your words are to God. How important your trust is to God. How important your love is to God. You know, we have to get away from the idea that, well, God's God and He doesn't need anything. Because if He didn't need anything, then we wouldn't have been created. He has a need for love. Now, He doesn't tip over if we don't love Him, because He's God. But He appreciates it, okay? And that's the way that we should be as well. We shouldn't tip over when everything doesn't go right, because we have Christ in us. We have the sufficiency which is of Christ. We've got it in us. And when we don't allow that sufficiency to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish, things begin to unravel. And frankly, I don't like to see things unravel. I don't like to see people's lives unravel. It breaks my heart. So if it breaks my heart a little bit, think how much it breaks God's heart. When God says, don't fear anything, there's no place for you to have any fear, then that means don't fear anything. And whatever it takes to quit fearing, quit it. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Fear is evil. It's not from God. If it's not from God, it's not good. If your thoughts are not from God, they're not good. If your words are not from God, they're not good. If your imaginations are not from God, they're not good. And you are intelligent. You can recognize the difference. But you have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to overcome the evil with good. Because if you don't overcome the evil with good, the evil will get you. With God in you or not in you, the evil will get you if you don't overcome it. Because what you give ground to, that's what you'll serve. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And so we take comfort in knowing God hears me. Oh, if God hears me, He should hear something good, shouldn't He? I should be speaking things that God can appreciate. And if I speak things that God can't appreciate, I need to correct them. I need to overcome them. We should have our ears open when we pray. Not just to hear what God says back, but to hear what in the world we're saying. You ever pray anything and then think, why in the world did I pray that? Why would I say that? Yeah. Why would I say something like, God, don't you even care? Well, obviously He cares. We can correct that real easy and say, God, I know you care. I know that I know that I know that I know that you care. If there's one thing I'm sure of, Lord, it's that you care. And since I know that you care, I can line everything back up. And I can begin to allow your Spirit to fill up and flow through my life. And I begin to manifest those things that come from God. Because I am a Christian. I have Jesus Christ in my life. And because of that, I can act like it. And I can talk like it. And people can see it. And others can be encouraged by it. And then, Lord, that others might come to know You. Over the clamor, above the noise. These are the things that drown out the unfruitful works of darkness. These are the things that put the chokehold on the vain imaginations and the lies of the enemy. These are the things, having that understanding so that we then realize and know that we have prayed, God has heard us, and we have been a blessing to the kingdom of God and destruction to the kingdom of darkness. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that He might destroy the works of the enemy. Is He destroying the works of the enemy in your life? Of course He is, because that's why He came. Does He accomplish what He came to accomplish? Of course He does. And that's what we need to hear above the noise. Now, a way to overcome the noise is to understand. And this is how the thought came to me. And when I said it to God, God said, write that down. I said, God, You always bless me. And it's a fact. He always blesses me. Does everything that has ever happened in my life, has it always been a blessing since I came to know the Lord? Did everything feel like a blessing? No. But He always blessed me. Because He was always there to bless me. Always. And I understood this morning, He brought to my understanding that part of the thing that works so well for me is that I base everything upon my relationship and my friendship with God on my first introduction to Him. My first introduction to God was that He did something good for me. He opened my eyes to know that I was perishing. And I thought that that was very beneficial. Because without knowing that, I couldn't be rescued. And although I didn't know it at that moment, I came to understand later that at the very moment I understood that, He delivered me. And what I didn't know, but the devil did know, was that the fight was on. And he fought like crazy. But he couldn't win because I offered God an open heart. And so it was so amazing that the relationship even began. And even though I said in the first place, he never did another thing for me, ever, that would be more than sufficient because it was far better than what I had before. Something in me always knew that there was more to anticipate. Naive, with very little understanding, but like a child. Determined that whatever was going on, I was going to follow Him. And so I always have expected Him to bless me. Now, I didn't understand that terminology to begin with, but I expected from the day that I met Him for things to work out. No matter what came about, it was going to work out. Somehow. And oftentimes, I just crawl into my little bubble. And I just stay there. And I won't believe anything else. And when the enemy comes inside my bubble to talk to me and try to convince me about different things, then I do what Rosie said. I kick him out. He's not welcome in my bubble. Now, do I think about what he says a little bit before I kick him out? Sometimes. Is there some anxiety involved? Once in a while. But I really don't like anxiety. I don't like it. I don't like to fight. I don't like it. I just assume that God did the fighting. And I would just as soon just do it the way that He has said. Consequently, when I said, you have always blessed me, I gave some thought to the fact that he's always blessed me. He just flat has. Whether it looked like a blessing, whether it felt like a blessing that I was in the midst of it, even when it didn't feel right or look right, I expected it to be his way when it got all done. That it would be good. Because no matter what, he blesses me. And the fact of the matter is, for everyone in the world, saved and lost alike, it is God's desire to bless them. Now, God does not always get what he wants, because not everybody will allow him. And sometimes we will hold him out, and sometimes we will put up a wall, and sometimes we will put up a mountain. But if we get our eyes open, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, to see through the mountain or see through the wall, what we'll see is God standing there like this, with his arms wide open and a basket full of his blessings for us. To bless us beyond measure, to bring us beyond, above, through, over, knock down, whatever it is that's in our way, bringing us the solution. And so as we become people who anticipate his solution, we anticipate the blesser. My spell check says there is no such word. But I don't care. There is that word. It wants to correct it. But blesser is a good word. The Lord is our blesser. He's our blessing. He is our blesser. We are blessed by the blesser. So it's got to be a word. But the key to it is us anticipating the blessing, anticipating the solution, anticipating the answer. Jordan sent an email today that just had a little article, an unclassified article, about what he was going to be doing. You know? Now, sometimes when I think about Afghanistan, anxiety will try to come up. And it'll turn right flat into fear. He's my little boy. You know? But whenever that happens, I don't listen to it. I'm not going to be in turmoil or tortured. I'm going to talk to the blesser. Because he has assured me it'll be okay. And so I have to stand with that. Now, does that mean that never, ever, never, 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 ever does any anxiety ever come? Of course not. It just means that I know that God has good plans, and so I speak good things about it. You know? Now, some people might shake their heads at me. I really don't care. People have shaken their heads at me for a long time. They shook their heads at me before I got saved. They shook their heads at me after I got saved. And there'll be some shaking their heads when they put me in the grave. Some like this, and some like this. Doesn't really make any difference to me whatsoever. It really doesn't. And that's biblical. Jesus said, I know the heart of man. Okay? See, I figure anybody with any sense likes me. And if they don't have any sense now, they will eventually. Not because of me, but because of Jesus in me. And I've watched Jesus take some people who liked me very little and turn me into somebody that they liked very much. Now, they can say I changed, or maybe they changed. Doesn't make any difference. But you see, the Lord had not only... I'm not the only one that the Lord has always blessed. He's always blessed you too. And any time that you have not been blessed, that blessing's still waiting. It's still there for you. But you perhaps just did not receive it. Because in some circumstances, we don't expect to be blessed. We were blessed last night. We got a nice buck. You know? And we got the nice buck. It was my fault. It was my fault. It was my fault because there was a car coming from a side road and they were coming really, really fast and I figured that probably they were coming really, really fast, and they were probably young people coming onto the road, and I watched them. We got past before they came. I watched them come onto the highway in my rearview mirror, and I watched that they didn't even hesitate, and that they came ripping onto the highway, and I was watching their headlights. And when I looked on the road, there was a deer in my headlights. And because I was looking behind, I couldn't get away from what I was ahead of. I already dodged a possum. It was no problem. And I think I could have dodged the deer, too. But I was too close. I laid on the brakes. I didn't think I wanted to flip the car. Caught just a little butt of his butt. I think he probably ran off. I've just got fur and a little dent in the hood. We were blessed. Didn't even knock out a headlight. Well, if you were really blessed, you wouldn't have hit him. Well, if I'd have been looking, I wouldn't have. But I was blessed, even in my looking behind. You see, I live in my bubble. I do. You know, I just do. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I live in my bubble. I know God's good. And you won't get me to say that He's not. And if you catch me saying that He's not, please correct me. Because He is good. And if I ever infer that He's not, or if I ever infer that He has not blessed me, then say, whoops, is that a blessing? Does that sound like you were blessed? Because I will allow that, and my wife will bring me up on that. But you know, as we were worshiping, I was thinking about, you know, I said in the devotion, you know, do you think like this? Would you be willing to be made to think like this? Can you see the advantages of thinking like this? It's not just thinking, it's a mind of the Spirit. But if you don't think that way, and you are determined that you are not about to think that way, and you are not about to try to put that into practice, you're never going to know what it's like. We were on our way out of the mall yesterday, and we're walking past this place, and my wife said something about sea salt. And so, since she said something about sea salt, I turned around. It's one of them kiosks, you know. And my wife, you know, she reads all of this stuff, Prevention Magazine. That's Bible number two. And in the Prevention Magazine, it probably has talked about sea salt. I don't know. And this guy's scrubbing our hands. And Vicki says, I knew if it could help his hands, it'd be good for him. And anyway, we're going through there. And this guy is just, he is convincing us of how good this would be for us. And I've read about it a little bit, and I have these weak moments. I just want my wife to have what she wants, and I don't even know if she really wanted it, but she certainly didn't say no. And so we're getting this, and this what was going on was this guy was convincing us that this was good for us. And then he was going to give us such a deal I have for you. You know. And so anyway, yes, he convinced us. And so we were getting that. Now, we're done with this guy, or I'm done with this guy, and I'm standing there. And a girl on the other side of this same kiosk is standing there, and she says, what about you? What about you? That's all the women's stuff. What about you? Shouldn't you do something for you? I said, I don't really need to do anything for me. If my wife's happy, I'm not taking no for an answer. What about you? You need something too. You should have something too. You know? I said, I got lots. I'm just fine. No. Let me show you. She's rubbing stuff on my wrist. Stuff for my eyes. She's rubbing on my wrist. I said, why don't you put it on my eyes? Let's see how good my eyes will look when they're all there. But anyway, so she's, and it always is, what, I'm not taking no for an answer. What about you? And she started to ring it up on the cash register. I said, now wait. I'm not taking no for an answer. You're not getting any money. You know? But what she was doing was trying to convince me, first of all, that it would be good for me. Then she wanted to appeal to my selfishness. What about you? What about you? Don't you deserve something too? I should have said, get behind me, Satan. Isn't that the way the devil talks? What about you? What about you? What about you? You know? Ah, but I was strong and firm, and we ran out of time, praise the Lord. So we had to go, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, just like those people were working on us to convince us that something is good for us, the Lord is saying, convince them that this is good for them. And I'm saying, you'll have to do the convincing, I'll just be your voice. But if I can convince you to try, you see, that's what they did. They wanted us just to try it. And even though she wasn't going to take no for an answer, we didn't get what she was trying to give me because I wasn't concerned about me. I said, I can use her stuff. It'll work on me too. You know? Maybe it'll make me that pretty. I don't know. But, you know, but it was, she was so, she just, and when I was walking away, she said, what about you? What about you? She was sweet. but she was just serious. What about you? Don't you deserve something too? You know? Hey, I got her. Oh, that's all nice. Yes, we women love it when you give us stuff, but what about you? I said, well, how much are you going to give it to me for? She said, oh, you're a good salesman. What do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. I give away what I got. Well, I'm not going to do that. What about you? Well, you know something? You know, God really says to us, you know, what about you? Will you take what I offer you? Will you believe that I will bless you? Will you expect me to bless you? Are you willing, no matter what circumstances, no matter what is going on, are you willing to declare, I'm blessed? You know, the blessing is on the way because that's the way that God is. That's His nature, to bless. He is love. Love is a blessing. That's His nature. His nature is to watch over His word to perform it. Psalm 32:1 said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So you're blessed. If you're saved, you're blessed. That's all there is to it. If you are saved, you are blessed. And we should know that, so then the things that don't seem to be blessings, we won't let them rob us of what we really are. We're blessed. We can't allow circumstances, we can't allow what appears to rob us of what we are. Blessed. And if we will stand on that, then these blessings will catch up with us and overtake us, it says in Deuteronomy. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. You know? Well, I hope that I've got the second part of that, but the first part is, God does not apply my iniquities to me. So I'm blessed. And so when I first met the Lord, and He forgave my sins, and He cleansed me of all unrighteousness, I became blessed. When the Lord did the same for you, you became blessed. And God never intended that that change. He intended that you be blessed in your going out and blessed in your coming in. He intended that you would believe that and that you would speak that and that you would expect that. So that when anything else comes up, your heart is full of anticipation of His appearance and not anxiety over what next. When we are blessed because we are trusting the Lord, then we don't look for someone else to blame. The blame game is a killer, isn't it? It's somebody else's fault. After all, I did pray for the deer to stay in the ditch as God didn't keep him there. No, that's not true. Actually, what I prayed was something new. I prayed, God, keep all the deer safe tonight. Now, my thinking on that would be that not only would it keep them out of in front of me, but it would also keep them out of front of everyone else traveling home. Well, I believe God did everything He could to keep the deer safe, but some of them just don't listen. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever prayed for someone that they would be saved, or prayed for someone that they would do just the right thing and they didn't do it? Have you? Yeah. If you want to have some prayers that don't get answered, pray for other people to do things. You don't control them. You control you. You can pray for them to be blessed. You can pray for them to be protected. But if they jump off a tall building, your prayer for their protection is going to be stretched. And it's not God's fault if somebody decides to jump off a tall building, is it? No. Because you know that God was standing there telling them not to jump, right? See, the thing is what you have to do, what I have to do, what we all have to do is put into motion what we know. And we know the truth. And the truth will make us free. It's when we don't speak what we know, which is the truth that's inside of us, that Christ has put in us, that then we become bound. And then fear gets a foothold. And then circumstances overrule everything. And suddenly, we can't remember that we're blessed. And if we were to say we were blessed, we would be convinced by the devil that we're liars. I'm telling you, you never lie when you say I'm blessed. You'll never lie when you say the blesser is on his way. That's not a lie. The Bible says so. When you lie, is when you say something other than that. When you lie is when you say things like, this is killing me. I'm never going to get through this. This is more than I can stand. That's when you lie. Now, just as you are not to have any fear, understand there's no place in the kingdom of God for liars. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Are we willing to speak the truth? Are we willing to stand on the truth? And then, having done everything to stand therefore with the full armor of God on, piercing the fiery darts of the enemy, because just because we're standing with the armor on doesn't mean that the enemy's not shooting at us anymore. Having our shield of faith and our helmet of salvation and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and having on a loincloth of righteousness and truth, and having on all of that stuff, then standing and declaring the truth. Blessed. The Bible says, blessed is he whose sins are forgiven. I'm blessed. And with God, once it starts, it stays in motion. He's a continual God. A forever God. All the time working on your behalf to carry out His word. Carry out His word. We don't want Him carrying out our word sometimes, do we? No. We can derail a train with our words because we're not speaking the truth. We're not speaking what the Lord has said. Now, with everything with God, probably 20 years ago, maybe more than that, probably 20, because we're 20 years since we moved into this building, and I think it was after we moved into this building that the Lord first spoke to us about, you know, you don't have to. You can have it if you want it, but you don't have to. Everything with God is true. It's yes, and it's amen, but He won't force it. He won't force you to be blessed. But He'll continue to stand with it. He won't force you to allow Him to work things out, but He'll always have the solution for you. He won't force you to let the joy of the Lord be your strength, but He'll be standing there, as miserable as you may be, ready to let that happen for you. Because what He wants is to continue what He began. The Apostle Paul said, I'm confident that He is able to continue the good work that He's begun in you. We can't forget what He began in us. We went from death to life. Bang. just like that. No questions asked. No conditions on it. You called on His name, and He saved you. That's it. Blessed is the person whose sins are no longer held against them. Just like that, He began the good work, and He's able to complete it. Now, do you feel like you were blessed and that you are blessed to be saved? And so that was the beginning, right? Can you imagine that that's the way it's supposed to continue? And are you willing then to stand on that and say, I'm blessed? So that then in the midst of whatever, you can say, you know, God, You started this off pretty good. I can't wait to see how You're going to finish it off. When you begin to do that, then you are no longer tormented about the imaginations of what could come because this happened, because this person said this, or because that happened, or because whatever. You won't entertain those things. You'll entertain the blesser. And you'll be able to say, you know, I mean, hey, there'll be times when you'll say, you know, Lord, I know it's coming. Could we rush it? But at least you're knowing that it's coming. Then when something comes up that doesn't look like it's coming, you won't be tipped over and say, oh, I thought it was going better, but it's falling apart. Don't entertain those things. Know that God is on the move. And just keep declaring that. Just keep believing and declaring, I am blessed. Lord, You always bless me. You always bless me. You blessed me when You allowed me. Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are you because it's been given to you to understand. It's been given. But you got to receive it. Become as a little child. How many of you have ever given a little child a piece of candy? Do they want one piece? No. They would like to reach in and get their hands full. They would like their hands so full that they can't even unwrap one. They would like their hands so full and they'll let you have one to unwrap for them. They expect there to be another one. And we call them greedy little buggers, but what they're doing is they're trying to teach us something about the Lord. Well, that might be a stretch. But we can learn something about the Lord from it, can't we? Because they do. If you give them a piece of candy, unless they don't happen to like that candy, if they like the taste of it, they want more before they're done with that piece, don't they? You know? And, you know, and it'll be a bartering session. Two more? Can I have four? Give me the bag. I'm telling you, that doesn't bother God. It doesn't bother God if you want the bag. And if you can't have the whole bag, He won't give you the whole bag. But He doesn't go off the deep end because you want the bag. He is excited that you understand that you're blessed. He's excited that you expect Him to answer your prayers. Heaven erupts over a word of thanks or praise from you. And all those curses and all those naysayers and all that other stuff, they're non-events in heaven. Heaven just ignores that. They don't affect heaven one bit because they're listening for your voice, for your praise, for your thanksgiving, for your trust above all the noise. They're listening for one reason to rejoice. Now just imagine if that's the way we become, where those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God are non-events. They're not going to affect the good stuff. Because we're listening above the noise. for that promise of God, for the truth of God's word. Thy truth have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, David said. Listen for that. Listen for the truth, because it's the truth that will make you free. And then you'll just pull your little shelter of the Most High over your head and abide under the shelter in the shadow of the Almighty. And you'll just say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because you always bless me. Give some thought to that. Give some thought. Look at your relationship with the Lord. And just look and see how He has blessed you. And when you find those places where you realize He probably wanted to bless you, but you didn't let Him, well, just erase those little walls that you put up and say, I'll take that now. He's a God who restores, right? He restores. So even if we haven't received all the blessings that He was standing there ready to give us, when we knock down the wall, when we open the eyes of our understanding, now then we can see those restored. And it becomes with that understanding, I am blessed. Not I'm going to be blessed when this happens. I am blessed. Because if we don't, what happens is we don't enjoy the journey until that one thing that has been evading us happens. I could have spent the last how many ever years in misery concerned for my son Joshua. But I'm sorry, I won't do that. Just can't do it. Not because I don't love him. I don't know if it's because I have such big faith. Probably it's because I've always said I'm kind of a baby. But it doesn't do me any good to worry about it. I find it beneficial to just say, it's just a matter of time. You know? I tell people it'll happen. Vicki and I agree on that, so we've agreed. You and your whole family, the Bible says. So, what's better, to grumble and complain about what isn't, or rejoice and anticipate what's on its way? Grumbling and complaining is not characteristic of a Christian. Any more than it's characteristic of a Christian to vote for someone who does not vote for life. It's not enough to say, oh yes, it's how do you vote? Where do you stand? It's not enough to say, well yes, I believe God blesses, but it's where you stand. Either He does or He doesn't. Are you blessed or are you not blessed? Are you willing to be more blessed? Or are you liking whatever it is that's keeping you from Him too much? Folks, there is a world full of people who need to know the breasted one, the Lord God, who supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. There's a whole wide world full of people who need to know the Blesser. And it's in seeing Him work in your lives and having the eyes of their understanding opened that then God will get to do what He wants to do in their lives as well. Are you blessed? Lord, we are blessed. If we know You, we are blessed. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we might be always looking, always anticipating, always expecting the Lord God, the Creator of all things, the ever-present Spirit, the healer, the deliverer, the provider. May this be what we're filled with, the awareness that we are blessed with all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.